You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Welcome to Good Morning Football. We are live in New York City. It is Wednesday, March 27th. I'm Sarah Walsh in for my good friend Jamie Erdahl alongside Kyle Brandt and a double dose of McCourty's awesome. Today. If you didn't know, Jason's always sitting here, then it's Devin over there. We're two McCourty's. What a win on a Wednesday,
so
Kyle.
Cool.
You know what that's called.
What's up, Devin?
I just hope I'm Devin and we didn't.
Would you have known if I came in and sat in that seat?
I do. I knew. Well, I wasn't paying attention in the makeup room.
I was about to
and
say. Devin,
you know what confuses me more? I can tell if neither one of you are talking, it's the voices.
Mm.
The voices are more confusing to me than, like, I can definitely tell that's Devin.
Until you hear what we actually have to say, then it gets easier.
the Dynasty, you've been watching it?
Yeah,
I've been watching it. You're one of the guys.
Oh, you don't follow? Yeah. You don't, like, keep up with me?
You're one of the guys that are complaining after you said all this stuff, and now you want to walk it back?
I don't walk anything back. Uh-huh. That's not really in my cup of tea. But, no, I gave 8 hours. You saw 5 minutes of it. Uh-huh. So it's about the 5 minutes you see.
At TV, you want to get the good people out there and get them in front of the camera.
You I'm glad everybody. You brought this up, because all the stuff we planned for the show, this is all nonsense. We're going to talk for 3 hours about the documentary. So Devin, what you're saying is you talked for a long time, and they only took the really juicy bits from you? Like, what were you expecting?
And not just the juicy, don't just only go negative. I know you're going to say take some of the negative things, but it was like, man, I played for 13 years in New England. We happened to go to 5 Super Bowls. We happened to win 3 of them. And my career came down to Hernandez episode, Malcolm Butler episode, a Trump episode, a Deflategate episode. And it was like, oh, yeah, by the way, they also had the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Oh, by the way, they held one team to 3 points in Super Bowl. It was like, oh, yeah, we'll give the little, like, 3-minute glimpse of what Bill Belichick drew up. You was out there. We got you a Super Bowl. It was a struggle for you at first. But to me, that was the issue. It was just all of the negative, and it was just like small blimps of, hey, these guys happen to win at a historic rate.
Dev, you're in the media. You don't know how the media works now?
No,
I mean, you're part of us.
Of course I do, but that's why you always got to give your opinion, because that's a part of the media, too.
What's the one thing, of all the things you just named, what's the one thing that you remember talking to them about that you were like, I wish this part was in there? I wish this Devin McCourty soundbite was in there.
I think it was the Trump stuff was one aspect of our team, but I think from that, what our team grew into, to ultimately, we were a huge part of a guy getting released from prison after 28 years. Mm. And it wasn't just like a player or two. Bill Belichick was one of the first people to sign his name on a letter to the governor. That was kind of unheard of for the Patriots to get involved in anything like that. And I thought that showed kind of what our team went through from 2016 and 17 of guys feeling a little bit at odds with some of the things going on outside the locker room and what we kind of grew into. I thought that was kind of a full circle moment that I thought would have been pretty good TV. But I think it was too wholesome to show for the Dynasty.
We need the McCourty cut. You know what I mean? Like, re-edit. Like, let's see all that.
We need to get with Edelman and Slater. We need to.
The text chains must be popping.
But yeah, bring a group together and get going.
God. Text chain. You guys are watching this texting each other. What the hell is all this nonsense? It's awesome that you're here. We just grilled you in the first 2 minutes, Deb. But
we just got rid of a ton of segments. It's already in my ear. This is done. This is done. This is done. So we got to move. Time for the lead block. We got some big news from the Cowboys yesterday. According to NFL Network Insider Ian Rappaport, Dallas and Dak Prescott have a mutual understanding that there will be no adjustment to Dak's contract before the 2024 season, meaning he's going to play on the final year of his deal. Jerry Jones spoke about it yesterday in Orlando.
Dak wants to do any and everything he can on and off the field to help us win. And so we are where we are. We have our contract. We're locked and loaded for this year. Mm-hmm. And we can see as we move along how we are thinking, we inclusive of everybody here, us, Dak, and we'll see what we do. I don't have anything to report today.
Okay, so Mr. Jones says they are locked and loaded for this year. The rap sheet also adds that this clears the path for Dak Prescott to test free agency in 2025. So what do you make of all that is going on with Dak and the Cowboys, Jason?
The one thing that stands out is you said mutual. They both decided, like, hey, we're not going to do anything to the contract. So for Dak, it was just like, you know what? Like, I don't want any more money. I don't want to be here for more years than just this one that I'm going to play out. That's the confusing thing to me. Or it's the Dallas Cowboys saying, hey, you know what? Another season of what we just went through. It was amazing during the regular season. We're bringing everybody back. We lost to the Green Bay Packers. We got blown out at home. You know what? It might be time for reset. Mm-hmm. Maybe we play out this year and we see what next year brings us. I look at this from Dak Prescott's perspective. We just watched Kirk Cousins play out the last year of his deal. He took off and he went to Atlanta. In 2019, I was with the New England Patriots where Brady, for the first time, went into the last year of his deal. He took off. He went to Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl. For Dak Prescott, you talked about it. He has no trade clause, no tag clause. So for him, when this season wraps up, why am I going to stay with the Dallas Cowboys, depending upon how the season goes? He'll have many suitors. There'll be so many teams at that point that are dying for a quarterback that they're going to look at, and Dak Prescott makes our team better. We can bring him here and feel like we have the roster, plug him in, and maybe we can win some more games. Mm. So I look at this, and it's just like, for fans, are you starting to Photoshop Dak Prescott with your favorite team on it? For fans, do you want Dak Prescott? For Cowboys fans, you're looking at it and it's like, have we seen enough of this story? Have we seen enough of Dak Prescott? We get to the playoffs, we win a lot of games, we put up points, we put up stats, but we fall short. Dallas Cowboys seems like, you always say it, for the past almost 30 years, it's the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. Is this the lead into, at the end of the season, blowing this thing up, maybe keeping Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb and going out there and there could be a new quarterback in Dallas? Mm.
Like, Dak Prescott should do what I did last night. I looked at this and I was like, you know what? Types in on Google, top quarterback free agent signings. If Dak looks around, he'll look at it and he'll see Drew Brees, he'll see Kurt Warner, he'll see Peyton Manning, he'll see Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And when he sees those names, all of those guys went on to new teams and they won Super Bowls. Mm. These pictures are guys hoisting Lombardi trophies because they won Super Bowls. So is this a unique situation? No doubt about it. Anytime a team comes out and says, hey, we talked, we've mutually agreed that it's not going to work out, they're basically saying, hey, buddy, we got 1 year left, and then we're going to let you fly. We're going to let you go wherever you want. And what I think is interesting about that, in 2019, when we had Brady on our team, we all knew that at the end of the year, he would be a free agent. I think as a player, you start to think about that. Like, I never thought I'd be a free agent. I played for the Dallas Cowboys. I thought I'd be the Cowboy quarterback forever. You start to look out there. You play against a team. They have weapons. They're on offense. And you kind of look at the quarterback. You say, yeah, that quarterback's not that good. If I'm Dak, maybe I start shooting some text messages out to guys. Hey, how you guys doing over there? Hey, where did everybody go out and eat? What's the massage therapist like over there? Yeah. Like, all of these little questions.
Cool down there?
You start thinking about your next year, because that's what's important. And, you know, if they get off to an 8-0 start, then, yeah, you start thinking about a Super Bowl. But in Dallas, it hasn't looked good, you know, in the postseason. But during the regular season, they've won. And I think the fan base starts to get tired. I got picked up from the airport yesterday from the owners' meetings. And my guy, George, is my driver.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm okay with it. Let Dak be a free agent.
He's a Cowboys fan.
I'm okay with it. He's a diehard Cowboys fan. And you start to see that more and more. You talk to different people, and they're like, oh, we don't need him. I'm ready for a new quarterback anyway. And be careful. A lot of these teams that moved on to new quarterbacks, they went some years feeling pretty bad.
The drivers always got takes, don't
they? Got them.
They can't
and
wait.
And some of the best ones. Right.
And you know if they're that mouthy, they're talking about you, too. Yeah, Jeff McCourty, a lot of luggage. Nice stuff. Nice stuff. They're real chatty. Listen, there's a thing going on right now. And it's so all these big quarterbacks with all this money, there's teams starting to say, like, we might want to get busy living a little bit and move on. Like, let's just think back to, like, Matthew Stafford with the Lions, Matt Ryan with the Falcons. We're like, we love you. It's just time. So the Packers do it with Rodgers, and they say, we got a 4-time MVP, and it's just time. And obviously they had a young guy. But look at the Vikings with Cousins. They didn't have squat, and they just said, it's time. If you're paying all this money and you're not splashing in title games, let alone Super Bowls, like, what are we doing? We can, because the problem is, like, the Cowboys in the playoffs every year, right? But, like, when we look back on the Dak era 10 and 15, 20 years now, we're not going to be able to decipher 1 year. What was that, 20, 19? They're all the same. And also, like, you never get a good draft pick. You never do any. It's always like, I mean, does anybody think the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl next year? You're like, no, we all know that. And I think deep inside, the Cowboys are starting to learn that. Like, do we want to just get in the wild card and divisional maybe sometimes and pay a ton of money for a very good player and a very good person? Or do we want to say, like, I think we've tried this enough times, and let's just get out of this business? That's how it is. There's a lot of that going on right now. I think it's we also get seduced by the draft. Look at these young guys. They're so cheap, and we could bring them in, and it'd be fresh. I think the Cowboys finally are starting to think, like, this isn't working, and it's not working to our standard. And I think it's exciting. I do.
I just think, though, there's this pump the brakes moment. And this is a quarterback-driven league, right? There are a very small number of these elite guys.
Yeah.
Then there's, you know, the middle of the pack. It's really hard to get anybody in that elite category. Yeah, it's really hard. And how many franchises have just struggled and struggled and struggled with this quarterback turnover and not finding the right guy? And so, yes, everything you're saying, I understand, like, they're not, it's not getting them to the Super Bowl. But at the same time, it's that what's behind door number two. And I don't think for a second that the Cowboys franchise of all franchises is going to go, ah, we'll just sort of be, like, middling around here for a little bit. Like, we're okay being, like, 500 or a little bit below 500. They're not going to be okay with that. And I understand, like, going to the playoffs and winning one game is no longer good enough. But the alternative is, I always think it's, like, the alternative is what? And it's the same thing with the coaches. Like, we're going to get rid of this coach. Even the Mike McCarthy situation. What's better? What's your situation that is better? What is behind door number two that's definitely going to get you there,
but
right?
But is Dak one of those elite guys? Like, is he? Jason likes to talk about sometimes. There's just one guy I'm not going to name. But Jason always says, whenever he comes up in commercial break, is a quarterback, a well-known guy. Jason's like, that's not a guy you worry about. Like, you don't worry during that week.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to name the guy. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about. Like, is Dak one of those guys? He's a very good player, and he puts up numbers, but are you like, oh, man, we got Dak this week? He's good.
Yep.
I don't know if he's on the, like, the crazy list.
And it's that train of thought. Like, I was in Cleveland. We know how that year went. We didn't win a single game, but it was a thought from an organization. Do you stay and end up middle of the pack, to your point, or do you say, you know what, we really want to win the whole thing?
Yeah.
So we have to build a roster, break it all the way down, and build it back up in the sense of now we're actually competing for a Super Bowl. Because to your point, you do the confetti test. After all of these years with Dak wearing a number 4 for the Dallas Cowboys, if I can't see the confetti falling and us hoisting a Lombardi, do you say, you know what, blow the whole thing up, start all over, and see, instead of just continuing to pay the superstars, right. Next thing you know, you're going to have to repay Dak, you're going to have to pay Micah, you're going to have to pay CeeDee Lamb, you're going to look around and you don't have a whole roster built, and it's like, but can this team get you to the promised land?
Let me ask this, the confetti test, was there no point during the year last season that you sat on this desk, was there no point that you could have seen the confetti?
I picked the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. I was one of the most disappointed people coming in here Monday after that's the true. Packers just annihilated them.
Not everybody's an expert, buddy.
Who was your Super Bowl pick last year? Do you remember? Out of curiosity, do you remember who you picked to win the Super Bowl?
The Patriots?
I picked the Bills every year.
You picked the Patriots?
No, I picked the Chiefs.
You picked the Chiefs?
Picked the Chiefs.
All right, Schrager.
Did you really?
All right, Schrager.
That's the reason I'm in this seat.
Peter's back. Right, different.
He was on vacation.
Listen, college pro days are here. You want to look towards the future? Here we go. With NFL Plus, get access to exclusive live coverage of top draft prospects. Check out LSU's Jaden Daniels today and UNC's Drake May tomorrow. You can catch it all on NFL Plus. Still to come here on GMFB, which team can make a surprise move for a quarterback in next month's draft. We're going to give you our picks. It is Whiteboard Wednesday straight ahead.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
It is time now for Whiteboard Wednesday. Here we go with Daniel Jones, seemingly the guy for the Giants at quarterback. Team owner John Mara has given his GM and his head coach the green light to draft a quarterback at 6 overall if they so choose. Speaking to reporters, Mara said, if they fall in love with a quarterback and they believe that it's worth pick number 6 or moving up, I would certainly support that. So, guys, here's the question. The team you'd be most surprised to see draft a quarterback in round 1 would be who, Jason?
I think there's a team where they're going all in. They're trying to win a Super Bowl this year. They had an MVP quarterback. I'm going with the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. They have a first-round pick. Now, you look at their roster. They have a quarterback in Tyrod Taylor that's 35 years old. They have a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and both these guys, when the season starts, who's going to be 40 years old. With their first-round draft pick, who knows? Why not take a quarterback? Zach Wilson's the youngest guy on the roster. They can't give Zach Wilson away right now. So what if the Jets decided, you know what? In the second round, we're going to go out and get somebody for Aaron Rodgers. But in the first round, we want to secure our future and make sure we have somebody on our roster to take over. It's such a quarterback-friendly draft. Why not? I would be surprised, but who knows? The New York Jets, who I'm rolling with.
There's no shot the Jets take a quarterback. Did you not see anything in Green Bay taking quarterbacks, not taking the guys Aaron Rodgers wants?
In the lower third, you see that? It says team you'd most be surprised.
No, it's not. That's why I picked it. Yeah, but still put some thought into it. It's obvious, man.
What do you got?
We them boys. Oh. We just talked about Dak Prescott. He's leaving next year. He's going to be in a new home. And the Cowboys fans won a Super Bowl. So, yeah, they're going to all be surprised. Like, why would we draft this quarterback? We don't need Spencer Rattler. We don't need Bo Nix. But then they're going to get this guy. And they're going to be angry and all of these different things. But we'll be a little surprised, but we won't because we see what's coming. It's right in front of our face. So, of course, it's we them boys.
I have not touched my board since you turned yours around.
Yeah.
Look what mine says.
Them boys.
Them boys. Who got this? Devin and I have better chemistry in 1 second than Jason and I in 2 years. Unbelievable. Devin and I are the same page. No, I love
that's
you,
accurate.
I'm the same way. We just did our 7A block, as we call it in the TV terms, about, wow, maybe that could be the end of Dak in Dallas and there's no extension coming. Jerry loves Dak so much. He loved what Dak represents. He loves Dak's image. He loves Dak's jersey being sold. He loves him. I feel like he just can't let him go. They'll keep losing the wild card round every single year with an occasional magical run to the divisional round when they have a parade afterwards. Jerry loves Dak. They'll probably give him a $20 billion extension at some point in part of the ownership.
Lifetime
contract, whenever you want. Dak Prescott is always the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He loves him. When the rubber meets the road, I don't see Dak leaving.
I don't either. Here's the next one. Ahead of the opening of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's steakhouse, 1587 Prime, Mahomes revealed to reporters that ketchup and the Andy Reid cheeseburger will definitely be on the menu. So the player or the coach inspired dish that you would like included on the menu at your NFL-themed restaurant would be what?
I love that these two guys are doing the steakhouses in Kansas City. I'm going to go with a guy on the Cleveland Browns. He's not going to have his own steakhouse. It's not known enough there to do that. But at, let's say, Marlborough, a beautiful steakhouse in Cleveland, he's going to add something to the menu, and it's going to be Winston's Surf and Turf.
Oh, man.
Our guy, Jameis Winston. He just got there. This is one of the most fascinating, the most fun, interesting players in the NFL, the Surf and Turf. You're going to get whatever steak you want, ribeye, whatever it is, and on the very side, you're going to throw away the lobster
Go
tail.
On.
You don't want the
Go
lobster
on.
Tail. A side of some king crab legs. I'm all for this. Jameis is walking in with the perfect item to add to your menu. Cleveland restaurants, get on top of it. Winston's Surf and Turf. You can only get it there. Do it at the Marble Room. I love it.
You came on now. You're in it. That's a good one. You're in it now.
I do.
I'm going with the Sexy Rexy toe-shaped fries.
Oh. Wow.
These will be.
Devin.
You can't have this anywhere.
Awesome.
This is New York
Top
City.
Role.
You come to New York City to get these toe-shaped fries. But the thing about these toe-shaped fries, you can get regular. That's if you're just like a normal person. Or you come get that Cajun. And if you're really into it, everybody's favorite, those truffle-shaped toe-shaped fries. Mm-hmm. Rex has talked about long-lasting foot. Wes Welker hit it in 2010. He said feet or toe reference like 10 times before a playoff game. Didn't work out for us, but you come get those.
You're
in
a Patriot
New York
through and through.
What do you mean?
That's a great answer.
Yeah. Dude, you're in the Patriots locker room. The biggest story in sports is that the head coach of the Jets appears to have a foot fetish. What are you guys saying? Because I know what we were saying in the media.
Yeah.
What was that like as a Patriot?
It was laughs and jokes a little bit in there, but it wasn't a big deal until we all caught wind of Wes Welker's interview. And next thing you know, Wes doesn't play the first quarter of the game.
Right.
And that was like, was that serious? Like, I'm not sure, but it was, I mean, it was, of course, it was hilarious. But most of our laughing came from the Wes Welker interview.
Because he, if anybody doesn't remember, it's the biggest story in the world, really. Wes Welker comes up there, and under the guise of doing a normal interview, he's talking about all the guys. You know, they got really good feet. You know, he's good with his feet. They're good foot soldiers. Like, foot soldiers was the biggest reach I've ever heard. But he got it anyways. And then Belichick benched him because, you know, he's Belichick. But that was an unbelievable moment. We played that on the radio constantly. Like, Wes, wherever you are, I feel like Steve's still getting beers bought for him for that. And he's coaching now. I know. I love it. Yeah. That was really good. The foot fetish. And it comes with, like, these onions with buns. And they're called bunions. And it's great. Remember, here's a throwback. How about a year ago? Remember when we were talking about the Russ spicy sandwich? Do you remember when he joins Denver and he does that unthinkable commercial in which he's talking to camera and he's like, hey, you ever do anything dangerous? Ooh, that is dangerous. Want some of my sandwich? Careful though, it's spicy. And we were like, what? I'm terrified of this commercial. I think it was PFT commenter who said, it's like Russ is talking to someone who's tied up to a chair and gagged. And he's just giving him a monologue. Like, it was the strangest thing. But Pittsburgh, known for sandwiches. Bring the spicy sandwich back. And when you do it, everybody go try it. But be careful, though. It's spicy. That's still on YouTube. I'm going to go watch
it. They got to do something in the stadium with it, though. Like, Russ's touchdowns. Everybody gets half off the spicy Russ.
Yeah, we call it a Russ down. And like, and then we'll ride and we'll weld and all that. I can't wait for the brand.
Russ down.
I just don't know if he's going to make it to week one as the starter. So, like, when he does, let's get the sandwich.
See, let's
all right,
go.
Let's go.
God,
that was great.
We were already so long that I got kicked out of Whiteboard Wednesday. But I was going to do, you guys are all doing, like, the main course. And I was like, you have to have an appetizer. And so the obvious appetizer I was going to do here is Tanzel Smart. Smart Carcucci board.
Who doesn't love a Carcucci board, right? Awesome.
I mean, it's that would have been in my starter. So that's my contribution there. I'm sneaking it in.
You're a great foot soldier.
The trailer for the fourth installment of the Bad Boys franchise titled Bad Boys Ride or Die dropped yesterday. The NFL take over all time that you would ride or die with is what, Jason?
I started to go like defense wins championships. I was like, you know what, that's just a little bit too generic. So the one thing that Kyle has said to me for the last 2 years since starting this show that is in relation to me was Super Bowl 53 was the greatest Super Bowl of all time. Kyle Brandt always tells me how much he just loves defense and the fact that he was able to sit down and watch this game and just watch two dominant defenses go to work. The lowest scoring Super Bowl in NFL history. Gilmore's interception, McCourty's pass breakup, Van Noy and Hightower making hits on Jared Goff. He said he jumped off his seat every time one of these defensive plays were made, and he was honored to get a chance to work alongside me and just talk about what Super Bowl 53 was like. So in honor of Kyle Brandt, I had to go with this answer.
Not only the most boring Super Bowl ever played, arguably the most boring football game ever played or sporting contest. I've seen 1-0 baseball games were more exciting. I've told this story, Dev. I don't want to name drop, I'm sorry, but like a few rows behind me, I was at the game. A few rows behind me was Steve Harvey.
Ooh.
And he is doing ad-lib comedy about, this is the worst damn game I've ever seen. I'm about to get out of here right now. Like, he was holding court about how boring the game was. And you know why it was so boring? Because of you guys. Because you were that good against that girly offense. Would have been nice if Tom and company could score some points.
Yeah.
I mean, they were terrible too. But, God, this terrible game. You guys got rings and everything. Your family's complete. That game sucked. What do you got? I'm sorry. That was a tough watch.
Sorry after that. Tough guys play defense.
Okay.
Everybody talks about it. You want a tough guy. And I always remember being in New England. Coach Belichick would say stuff like that. Like, you know, that guy's pretty good, but he's going to play offense for us. He just doesn't have the it. And that it is being tough. Playing through injury, being a little crazy. You watch all the different things. Rodney Harrison fighting guys in practice. That doesn't really come from offense. Every once in a while, you get a Logan Mankins, offensive lineman that loves to fight, get after it. You think defense, though, you think Ronnie Lott cutting off half of his finger to go play in the game. Like, those are the type of things guys on defense do. Offense, they want to score touchdowns, be pretty.
You think there's anybody in the league right now who'd say, yeah, cut my finger off so I can stay in the game?
No shot.
Like, I'm good.
No shot.
I'm
They're good. Like, that might get me on the NFI list, non-football related injury, might take my guarantee money. I'm good.
Yeah, and how's that going to look on YouTube?
Like,
I got things to do after
YouTube.
The game. This is a classic. This is my take. Don't need to play in the NFL to talk about it. This is a loaded topic here at the table, and it's an archaic take that some people still have. It's normally pretty much things of the past, but occasionally it still comes up. I only have so much free time in my day, and I spend most of it listening to ex and current athletes talking about football, including Jason. I've never been here for this idea that if you didn't play this game, you can't talk about the game. I used to be really insecure about it because I showed up to the NFL Network, and the top line of my athletic resume, I was an average 1AA running back, and I'm on the same network as LaDainian Tomlinson and Marshall Faulk, who are on my running back Rushmore. But as much as I constantly listen to athletes, love athletes, like, still I think some of the most interesting people in the industry are people who never played in the NFL. Peter Schrager did not play for the Seahawks. Guys like Nick Wright, fascinating guy, was not a Steelers linebacker. Maggie Gray here in New York City, unapologetic, incredible opinions. Even people outside of football. Ariel Helwani, super sharp, razor sharp. Don't think he was an MMA fighter. I think athletes have this huge advantage. You guys are sitting here, in that you have an incredible ability to inform and to entertain. I think the handicap that you have to work against is that it's difficult to relate to fans because you've never been one, to connect with fans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I watch these pods sometimes that ex-athletes do, and they're sitting around and they're talking to each other and seeing these brilliant, entertaining things, and the guys are nodding, they're nodding, they're nodding. I don't know if the people at home are nodding. Like, I don't know if they relate. So I don't want to cause like a civil war here or anything. I've always stood up for that because every once in a while I hear it. And I just think some of the best, smartest, most interesting people did not play this game. I like listening to actors talk about movies. I love it.
Yeah.
But I love reading Roger Ebert columns or Peter Travers or Sean Fennessy. Mm. I can go on and on and on. So I don't know where this came from, but I was asked this question and I was just like, it still comes up eventually.
Yeah.
And there is, sometimes it does. And there's like a prejudice or something I'm still standing against. And we've had segments right here in this table. We're doing a lot of reflecting right now.
Yeah, I know.
This is kind of the end of an era. And look, it's the elephant in the room. We had D'Angelo Williams here, I still like and admire. And he was coming for Peter and me. Uh-huh. He's like, I don't want to hear what you guys have to say about the Patriots because you didn't play. And it became this infamous segment. And if I ever see D'Angelo, I'd love to see him. He was a great guy. Weird segment, but I still get asked about it all the time. And so I still stand for it. You know, people say, well, you didn't play in the NFL, so how do you talk about it? All right, well, do you want to just go around, like, so you don't respect Andy Reid's opinion? He didn't play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh, Sean McVay, we can keep going.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick, never a down. So I'm sitting here with two very decorated ex-athletes, and I know you guys gotten where you are in part because you have so much respect and so much appreciation for all the things in this media. So as we're kind of wrapping up a last chapter here in Good Morning Football before we start our new chapter, I just thought I would bring it full circle, and I will always go by that take. Respect all the athletes. Love the athletes. Really respect the non-athletes, too.
Yeah. No doubt about it. For me, the past few years, working alongside you, working alongside the guy that sits in that chair, and Peter Schrager, and obviously Jamie Sarah, we did our audition when I was doing it for the show. You guys bring such a unique and amazing perspective to this show, to the game of football. And I think as ex-athletes, what we sometimes fail to realize, when I started this show, I had no idea of your resume, of what you have done beyond just sitting at this desk at NFL Network. And the same goes for Shrake. So I think sometimes players show up and they're like, well, what do you know about football? And they look at you and it's just like, well, no, I've been doing this for over a decade. And TV and doing sports media is different from playing a game. You're making content that people want to consume, and you two guys are amazing at it, and I wouldn't work with anybody other than you two guys.
Well, I love you, Jack. I love you.
Love you too, buddy.
And you see guys who played and can connect with fans, and that's why Pat is Pat. Like, he's incredible because he can do both.
Yep.
Total respect for it. I just think it would be a good podcast sitting here debating this topic.
I love it.
We have some time, Jason. Maybe we should start it.
we got months on end, baby.
Good afternoon.
Was this the end of the show? Are we done today?
No,
like,
we got to get a Bucky Brooks latest mock draft.
A really nice wrap up there. Yes, Bucky Brooks is coming, so we're coming back. Latest mock draft, more GMFB on the way.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Mock draft season. Is there anything more exciting than that? With 29 days until round one in Detroit, here is the top 10 from Bucky Brooks 3.0. It dropped yesterday. It's got the Bears taking, shocker, Caleb Williams, the Commanders selecting Jaden Daniels, and then J.J. McCarthy heading to the Patriots, third overall. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Joel run out the top five. Both the Giants and Jets add big offensive weapons. So, guys, what stands out in the top 10 of Bucky's mock 3.0, Jason?
So, I just got into the media a year ago. So, I'm only one draft in of sitting at this seat and analyzing and going through it. And I'm kind of spoiled. I look at Bucky Brooks' draft, and the one thing, the 10 teams that he has up there, that is the stock order that they come in. You go and purchase something, and it's just regular. That's what it is right there.
You're right.
No trades, no anything. I look at last year. In March, we see the Bears trade the number one pick, and I'm like, oh, my God, the Bears are now, what's going on? The Panthers are going to have, they're going to get Bryce Young. And it, so many different things happen. Before the draft, the Jets, they go out there, and they get Aaron Rodgers, and them, and the Packers, they flop first round picks, and then you know what? The draft begins. Houston, they draft CJ Stroud at number two. We're like, all right, they got Stroud, all the speculation. They trade and they get the number three pick, and then they go back and they get Will Anderson. The Eagles traded to nine. They got Jalen Carter. There was so many different trades in it. A running back was drafted in the first round in Jahmyr Gibbs, and the Lions moved up to get him. So I look at Bucky Brooks' top 10, and I'm like, what? There's no trades.
Yeah.
No one's going to move up and get one of these quarterbacks. No one's going to move up and feel like their receiver's going to fall off the board or get one of these offensive tackles. Somebody, I just need that excitement in the first round, in those top 10 picks, something we didn't expect.
What do you think? Make a splash. Like, just pick, look at that. And what
well, we saw DJ. We saw DJ, Daniel Jeremiah, say, all right, he had the Vikings moving all the way up to four to get J.J. McCarthy, and the first four picks were all quarterbacks. I want to see something. We already heard Monty Ossenfor said for the Arizona Cardinals, hey, that green neon sign open for business.
Yeah.
It is there. Dan Quinn mentioned the Herschel Walker trade. Somebody just trade all your future assets. Go up there and get your guy and say, you know what? If it doesn't work, my whole entire family's moving and we're looking for a new job. That's the thing right now. People are moving and moving out from the East Coast to the West Coast and all that. I want to see that happen. I need a trade in the
I got you. New England Patriots trade back with the Vikings.
No, nobody wants to see that. No.
All I'm saying
nobody
is,
wants to see
did
that.
You not see Gerard Mayo said it plenty of times? He said, if they offer the bag, they can have the pick. If they offer, somebody's got the good. So I'm giving you, we're throwing ideas out there. I'm saying Patriots trade back.
All right, so this is great. So we've talked about this a lot. The Patriots offense last year is unbelievably bad. Got shut out twice at home.
They
got
zip it. To in a game. Like.
Right. They, to Brandon Staley and Dennis Allen, the two coaches that shut them up. That wasn't in the doc. There should need to be a doc about that. So, but I mean, we there's this thought of like, my God, like they got a good defense and we love Judon especially. Like, they got to have a quarterback, right? They got to get one.
But the thing is, if you don't get the right guy, it doesn't matter. And then, like you just said, the offense is so bad. You have so many holes to fix. Like, why just get one person if we could get three people that make us better? So it's a thought, and I'm not saying I got background information on it, but it's an idea that the whole time Bill Belichick, all he did was trade back, and it's like, well, finally he's gone. Yeah. We're getting the number three pick. I think it would be pretty funny if the Patriots are like, we're going to trade back again.
Funny is a good word. But here, let's think about you. Like, so they trade back, and they're like, screw it, Jacoby. That's our guy. Every single person in your walk of life and your career is going to ask you, Devin, Devin, what do you think about what they did? What would be your response if they trade back, get a bunch of picks? Sure, that's great. But they still don't have like a young, promising quarterback. What would you say?
It's all now on the future. The next 2 years, we're going to be what you see. The problem with it is a little bit of everyone keeps talking about next year is not a quarterback strong draft.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to me because even this year, it was like, this is a quarterback strong draft because Caleb Williams and Drake May is all we heard going into the season. And then it was like, oh no, Jaden Daniels is here. Now all of a sudden this week is J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Then Penny, like all of these different guys pop up. So I think it would be them. I would say it's them betting on the future rather than saying, let's make everybody happy now, even though we don't believe in this guy going forward. Wow. So, and that was my reaction. No Drake May in the top 10 shocked me. Like, this was the guy a couple months ago that everyone kept saying could be this great quarterback. Only Caleb Williams is better than him. And now all of a sudden he's at 11?
Yeah, he still might be two.
Yeah.
He still might end up two.
And that's what's funny to me, because even last year watching some of the stuff, I'm like, why does so much movement happen? The college season's over. Why does everybody's pick and where they're at? Why does all this stuff keep changing? Are we getting that much from the combine and pro days? But who knows? Sarah, you're right. I think we say all of these things and then Drake May goes second to Washington, and we're like, oh, okay. Mm. We did all that talking for no reason, but it keeps us employed.
You know what's funny is I remember being at the combine a couple weeks ago, and Raheem Morris, sort of a simple question. Someone goes, hey, why is it just so hard to get the quarterback thing right? Like, yeah. At the combine, they do all, like, for months and months, years, you're watching tape on these guys. You're drilling them on questions, on background, on their 40s, on everything. Why is it so hard? And he's like, it's impossible. He's like, you can't get it right. And then he points to the most obvious. He goes, nobody got Tom Brady right. I mean, he's like, it's just the one thing that nobody, so for all the studying, for all the time and effort and research you put into this, there's no formula that, I mean, teams always say the process, it doesn't pan out the exact same way. And I also feel like because it's talked about ad nauseum, to your point where you're like, these guys aren't playing another game, why does it change?
Yeah.
It's just sort of like you're sitting in this like still space and people continue to talk about it. So it's got to change.
It's too much time.
So you can't, so if you have Caleb 1, you have Drake 2, well, now we're sitting here. It can't be that for the next 30 days or 60, whatever you're doing leading up to the draft. So we're like, well, we got to shift that and shake it up. So when you're like, where's Drake May? I'm like, it'll probably be 2 when all is said and done.
Yeah. The thing that I'm out on, I think, I've reached this point. I love the pro days. They're awesome theater. Yeah. Like, it's really fun. It's entertainment. I just love how it's set up, and I love the indoor practice facility. It's just like, if you're a football junkie, you love it. But, like, these guys who make a jump because of their pro day, come on. You're playing catch with receivers you've known for years. There's no rush. There's no defenders. It's like, whoa! Incredible! They completed almost all their passes. What do you mean, almost all? There were some that weren't completed? They're just playing catch. So, like, I think they're great, and I think you can get up close look at them, and all the mechanics, the arm delivery, footwork, awesome. But, like, so we're looking at this J.J. McCarthy thing. Yep. Harbaugh's like, greatest one I've ever seen. Like, so? Like, if that's great that he did well. But if you're like, you know, we had him around 12th on our board in terms of the picks. But, you know, after that pro day, I think we're going to wager our whole future on him because he was incredible with his college teammates in 72 degrees with no rush and full I mean, come on. What are we doing? Are you in on that?
I think it stands out more if you go to a pro day and a guy has a ton of incompletions.
If he's just bad, sure.
What's going on? And I think I've talked to Schrags about this countless times. He talks about Zach Wilson's pro day. He talks about Johnny Manziel's pro day, how he walked away.
Yeah, unbelievable. Rock concert.
Manziel had the shoulder pads on, the helmet. They had the brooms out trying to deflect the passes. But to your point, with all this time, whatever touch point you have that you can talk about a prospect and put some form of an evaluation on him, to your point, the thing about the pro days is you look at the player, the prospects are all doing their thing, but then you look in the background and it's general manager, it's head coaches, is this person talking to that person, and you just like to analyze it and pick it apart. Last year at Bryce Young's, we looked at the entire Carolina Panthers organization being there, dapping them up, hugging them, like, oh, this is a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
The entire staff got fired and they moved on to Dave Canales. So it was just like, you don't know. I was talking to Jason Garrett about that. He said, you go to the pro day. He said, when we drafted Tyron Smith, he said, we knew we were taking him. He said, but I'm walking around, I'm looking at other guys and I'm peeking out of the corner of my eye to see, because everyone's looking at what this guy's looking at. Yeah. What are they going to do? He said, we had the 9th pick. So everyone's wondering, are we going to take him? Are we going to trade back? And he said, like, I'm trying to kind of like peek at the girl that's walking by. Like, I know I'm sitting here with my wife and I can't, and I'm like trying to peek. Put sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Well, all right. a little too veteran right
Whoa.
There.
No, what you do is say, hey, honey, look over there. Yeah. So she's looking too. At the other guy. Jason, quickly.
Yeah.
Patriots don't take quarterback. They trade back all that. You're going to start ding. You're going to get all these emails. You got to come on the pod. Come on the pod. What's your take if that happens?
Take a quarterback. Please, just take a quarterback. I don't want to see you guys trade back and draft Devin McCourty at the 27th pick. Yes, great Patriot.
That only leads to 3
great
Super
Patriot,
Bowls.
Great Patriot. 13.
Leads? You're a good player.
They need a new podcast on, like, guys who were really good but think they were amazing because Tom Brady and Belichick. No, nothing against
That's
you.
That's the key to being a Patriot.
No, yeah. take a quarterback. We want to see a quarterback there. There's this new freshness. There's Jerod Mayo, Elliott Wolf, all of these guys. The defense can be really good. Take a quarterback and let Jacoby. If Jacoby starts the season, he's playing, that's amazing. But you have somebody there as well. Jacoby, we know his leadership and what he can do. But let's
Patriots, you heard it here. A guy who's played on so many winning football teams. He's seen it done at a high level. Jason McCourty gives you his take.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about building for the future. Like, there's your piece. You're sitting there at 3 now. Like, I think it's going to be complete chaos if you don't.
Sir, right? They're going to take Drake May, and a year from now, it's going to be a documentary where they're like, listen, like, we work for Jerod, but we play for Drake. That's what they're going to say. That's what we want. Amendola, wherever you are, hell of a quote.
And then
a little controversial,
like,
but hell of a quote.
And then they're going to be like, we're going to get Devin on because he's going to have a really positive take on this. We'd like to hear some positive stuff out of Devin McCourty. Draft season is in full swing. Our daily draft shows, they're back. Our experts are ready to spend the next month putting their final evaluations on every major prospect, and then they can change them the following day because you kind of have to. Plus, the draft needs for all 32 teams. Get to know the next class of NFL stars. It's the path to the draft, and it premieres Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network, streaming on NFL Plus. Still to come on GMFB, Hard Knocks expanding to a full division. I love it. Who'd you like to see hit the big screen this summer?
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.